we go. Welcome to North Shore Sports Night. It is a Monday night. We're still going to need some rain here. Very warm, mid-70s here on the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, the voice of North Shore. Bill Newell will be with us later on, and we're back after a week off last week. A very pleasant week off, I might add. Went up country to North Conway. Love it up there. I see no need to go up there in the summertime, however. It just doesn't make any sense. But we did go up there, no, that one doesn't work anymore.
Okay, just thought it out.
That one doesn't. It's that one. It's gone. It's just kaput. Tim has a ribbon, putting on his stuff, and anyway, went up to North Conway and stayed at some place up there, and we went to a place called Echo Lake. I'd never been there before. No, you got to use this. You got to use this.
I know.
Okay. Didn't know if you knew. And it was very pleasant. Anyway, nice time up there. And would you go on your bike? Put the mic on. Let's see.
Yeah.
All right. There we go.
Let's see. Friday, my buddy and I went a couple hundred mile ride up through New Hampshire. We took the bikes up to the top of Cathedral Ledge.
Yeah. What okay. So you were right on top of Echo Lake.
Yeah. An amazing view from the top of Cathedral.
What day were you there?
Cathedral Ledge. Friday.
Okay, because we were there on, I think it was Tuesday, I was going to say. I might have been looking up at you.
Oh, there down was on some the beach. Guy climbing up, and there was some nutbag who went over the fence, that there's a protective fence along the edge of the ledge to prevent people from falling over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there was this couple up there, and the poor woman was nearly apoplectic. Her husband had gone over the fence, and he was standing, and literally his toes were over the edge of the ledge. And I'm thinking, one good gust of wind, and this guy is taking the escalator down, you know, and it's not the fall that hurts, it's a sudden stop at the end.
Funny about how that works, inertia. It's, and that's a steep cliff. I mean, that's straight down.
It's straight down. A
couple of hundred feet anyway.
At minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum. I mean, it's an impressive piece of rock,
it's beautiful.
I'll tell you.
Yeah, well, and this is the first time, as I said, I don't really see any need to go up to the mountains in the summertime because there's no skiing. But then again, last winter there wasn't any skiing in the wintertime. Yeah. At any rate, it was nice to be there. I'd never been to Cathedral Ledge before, but never to Echo Lake, and it was just so pleasant and restorative. It was amazing. Okay, so here we are, and I lost that thing. Now tonight, let me tell you, we've got Gary Larrabee lined up once again. There was another golf tournament over the weekend, I guess, everywhere. Andrew Morenci, the Beverly High School football coach, will be with us tonight. First time we've gotten a chance to talk to Coach Morenci since he has taken over at Beverly. We will be talking with Dave Curley. Dave Curley is the Rockport High School boys soccer coach, and I don't know how they do it, but year after year, they just have an amazing, amazing team. And then we'll talk with Bill Newell later on and kind of wrap this thing up. So it's pretty much that's where we're going as we get ready for football season. And the testing is done. We have live video ready to rock and roll here. We have our both radio stations are up and running. We have two channels, so we will be broadcasting on two channels again this year. And, you know, I just don't know anybody else who does what we do. And so I hope you'll pass the word around, pass the word along, you know, that these games will be on MSO News Sports. We used to be, of course, more stuff online, but we are now MSO News Sports. We will have usually two games on a Friday night, including a video game, and then many days we'll have a Saturday game as well, and that'll bring us right into the entire high school football season. Now I'm trying to... Oh, here's our schedule right here. So, starting off in, let's see, a week from Friday night, Coach. You and Bill Newell will have a doubleheader from Manning Field. Gloucester will be at Lynn Classical. That is our live streaming video game.
And two games for the pay of one.
That will be a 5:30. I'll double your pay. I'll give you twice as much as I usually give you.
Yeah, well, I would expect no less.
Okay.
I wouldn't expect any more either.
Okay. Let's see. Paul Ingram and I will be over at Danvers, the brand new Dr. Deering Stadium. We will be there where Winthrop will be playing Danvers, the Vikings coming in to play the Falcons. And we hope to be we're going to be talking to all the coaches as we go along. And we're going to have next Monday night, we will have a show, Coach, on Labor Day. And
all right. I probably will be back.
Well, we're going to have a show because that's prior to our opening game, and so we just have to feature football and all the other high school sports as well in the area as school resumes. What, on Wednesday?
The kids are back Wednesday.
So you're back tomorrow?
My 30th year opens on the 30th, and it's my final.
Okay. Dun dun dun. Well, you never say never there, Coach. I'll tell you. Let's see here now.
True.
Okay, so anyway, that first weekend. Now, the game that's still up in the air is Saturday on September 10. That's Wakefield at Beverly. That's still up in the air. I know that you've seen that sweat box that they have over there.
I saw the box today. Yes.
Marty Smith was making fun of it. If the coaches are in there, the scoreboard keeper in there, I mean, it looks like the box from Hogan's Heroes where they throw you into solitary. So I don't know how that's going to work.
No, it's not big enough. It's, as Marty said, it's probably a 20-foot metal container. With the doors that'll open up, they had. When I drove by this afternoon, there were two workers from the city up on the roof of it. I don't know what they're trying to figure out, but one side was open, and I'm looking at them going, "Okay, so you're going to have the timekeeper, the announcer, and then are the coaches going to be up in the stands on either corner?" Are they going to be in the middle of the stands, up the top? Are they going to put them in the corners? You know, because if they're in the corners of that box, they're going to hear each other.
No.
And will one go on top? I doubt it, because it's metal, and the last place you want to be.
I don't want to be inside that metal at this time of year.
Yeah.
I mean, the old press box used to freeze no matter what time of year it was, but that it's just a metal thing, and it's like...
It is just a metal storage.
Looks like an oven.
It's a metal container, like you'd throw on top of throwing a ship. And obviously was a very cost-effective, expedient way of putting at least the announcer and the timekeeper out of the elements.
Okay. So that puts our Wakefield at Beverly game on September 10 into question. I don't know. We have to have a place where we can set up, and we don't require a lot. We got a computer and a place to write, and that's about it.
Well, Bill can be needy.
Bill can be needy?
Bill can be needy.
Well, neither one of you guys is what I would call diminutive, so, you know, we also need some space. I mean, you reach over...
Yeah, we're high and wide. Let's
over six...
He's high and I'm wide.
I was just going to say, you guys are just not small, okay? By the way, I met Linda Greenlaw on Saturday.
Oh, really?
I met and got to interview Linda Greenlaw.
Oh, what
she
a
was
great
the,
opportunity.
The captain of the Hannah Bowden, who was chronicled in The Perfect Storm by Sebastian Younger. And, of course, she was played by Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio in the movie. And believe me, they look nothing alike. And Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio tried this fake Gloucester accent and tried to not pronounce her Oz. And Linda Greenlaw is a well-educated, intelligent woman, believe me. And she speaks extremely well, gave a terrific talk. But my point is, she's a fisherman, and she calls herself a fisherman, by the way. None of this other fisherman. She's a fisherman and proud of it. And she's probably 5 foot nothing. And probably weighs less than 100 pounds, and it was amazing.
Really?
And she said, don't
judge her by her
in so many words. Yep. Yeah. She said, I can do everything a man can do and do it well.
Well, I
wouldn't challenge her on that.
Well, I'll tell you, Teresa, from the anchor, who I was backman for one day. She has her own lobster boat, and she'll pull 220 traps. Day.
Greenlaw, you
over
know.
The last couple of years, she had both shoulders surgically repaired.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
I'll tell you, she can haul with the best.
Well, Linda Greenlaw.
And about the same size you described, Linda.
She does 400. Yeah, I've seen Teresa. She does 400 pots a day. 400. She has an 800 pot set, and it's just amazing. So, anyway, that was fantastic meeting Linda Greenlaw, and I was so moved by the entire ceremony, but an amazing. And an interesting little tidbit, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Asked her about, electronic gear and so on, and weather predictions, and how, when you're in Gloucester and you look at the Centaurs up front there, and you see all those names on there, you look back, I think 1878 or something like that, a couple of years back in the late 1800s, there were hurricanes and it wiped out the whole fleet. I mean, hundreds of Gloucester dads were killed, and then in 1991 was the No Name Storm, and I remember looking out my window at the high school for 3 days, and even at low tide. The breakwater was underwater, even at low tide, and that was the perfect storm, Todd Gross called it. So I asked her about, you know, the changes, and she said, I had the best electronic gear then, we have the best electronic gear now, but you always rely, when you're out there, you rely on the man who's furthest to the west. And I'm thinking that means the man closest to shore, because the weather comes from west to east, and generally, or from south if it's a hurricane. And she said, Billy Tyne's vessel, I mean, that's, you know, the Andrea Gale, that was the one that was westernmost. So, you know, everybody else survived, and the Gloucester boat did not. So, amazing that she would recount that. But love Cape Ann, loves the North Shore. She fishes out of Maine, and it was great to meet her. We got to go to Gary Larrabee, so there's a golf thing, and I'm sure you catch up on the golf over the weekend, because I have no idea what went on.
Yeah, Reed won the tournament and made the Ryder Cup team, and Ricky Fowler basically crapped his pants and did not make it. So I'm going to ask Gary. I want to talk to Gary about the enigmatic Ricky Fowler.
All right, the enigmatic. Listen to this from a baseball coach.
Hey, I'm getting ready for the high school season.
Jesus! Huh? All right, we'll be back.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber, in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we are back with the great Gary Larrabee, sports historian, golf writer. Hi, Gary.
Hi, guys. This is this great golf weather we're having. If we ever have enough water to drink.
You know, the thing of it is, okay, drought. You know as well as I do, brother, this thing, it all evens out. We're going to have some bad weather coming up at some point.
And even this drought, we're going to need about 65 feet of snow this winter.
Okay, I'm up for that. I'm a skier. That'll work.
Oh, jeez. Never mind.
I know. okay, let's get back on topic here. Gary, where do we start? Where do we start this week?
Let's start with the freshest stuff, which would be the Barclays, I guess, which wrapped up yesterday at Bethpage Black in New York. And, of course, the big disappointment was every teenage girl golfer's heartthrob by Ricky Fowler, who kind of spit the bit and shot a final round. What did he shoot? The final round, 74. The highest round shot by the top 15 players, and he ended up losing the top prize of $1.5 million to Patrick Reed, not the most popular guy on tour, but truly one of our top players, particularly for match play, which leads us to the fact that Reed clinched a spot for himself on the Ryder Cup team, and Fowler did not, even though he led after the second and third rounds. So the drama will continue this week for a few of those guys trying to make the American Ryder Cup team at the Deutsche Bank Championship starting Friday, not Thursday, people. Friday at TPC Boston down in the Norton, with the wrap up on Monday, and we'll see how the worm continues to turn. We've got about eight solid players on the American team, but we don't have the other four, and three of them will be picked up not next week. Will be picked up next week after the Deutsche Bank, but the following week. After the third week of the Deutsche Bank, the BMW tournament out in suburban Chicago.
Gary, what is it with Ricky Fowler? You know, I heard the results and heard, you know, Reed by his win qualifies for the Ryder Cup, and Ricky by virtue of his crapping of the pants, as I mentioned, Rick, and it was the last thing I mentioned just before we called you. I said I got to talk to Gary about Ricky Fowler crapping his pants, and Fowler doesn't make the Ryder Cup team. Why is he so enigmatic? As I called him, he's there one day and then he's gone the next.
Well, I think he's going to make the team, whether he does well the next 2 weeks or not. He's a very vital part of that American team concept, whether he plays his way onto the team or becomes one of Davis Love's three picks coming up after the BMW. Then he'll make one last pick following the during the FedEx Cup playoff championship final week down in Atlanta. Everyone likes him, Tim. He's likable, he's photographic, he's sexy, he's wonderful with the media. Everybody's rooting for this kid to win it because he won the Players' Championship, I believe, a year and a half ago, but he really hasn't, I don't know, for some reason he hasn't quite reached his potential, and he'll keep trying, we'll keep rooting for him, and everybody's rooting for him, and I guarantee you he'll be one of Love's great picks in 2 weeks' time, whether he plays well in Boston or outside Chicago or not. He'll just keep plugging away, looking for an improved position in the golf record books.
If he cannot show better consistency over the next couple of weeks in a high finish, let's say a top five finish in both, and play consistently well, you know, all those attributes that you described of him won't win at the Ryder Cup. You know, the Europeans don't go for sexy. They go for the guys that are going to, you know, stick a knife in your back and turn it once or twice as they beat you into the turf.
Well, that's a fair point, and Fowler doesn't seem to have that killer instinct, but I can't even remember. I think he made the team 2 years ago. I don't know how he played that week. Over across the pond, but he's still an established star, Tim, and we like to think he just has to get over that proverbial hump that's taken an awful long time. He thought he got over the hump when he won the Players' Championship a year and a half ago, but it hasn't quite happened. He's got too much money, he's got his own plane, he's got nothing to worry about for the rest of his life, except, like I said, his place in the golf record books, and that's up to him to determine. As he goes forward, he can help that situation, of course, by having a fantastic Ryder Cup at Hazeltine the end of the month. We'll see.
Yeah.
End of September.
You know, I just had the thought, he's the American version of Sergio Garcia.
Yeah.
A lot of hype, early success, and then sort of a leveling off and then some slide.
Well, golf's a tough game. You can't do it every week, and maybe he's been, you know, there's a lot of failures out there every week because only one guy can win. But we'll see how he fares. I'm pretty sure he's scheduled to play this week at Three Deutsche Bank in Boston, and we'll see if he improves his situation then. I think the other thing, guys, we could talk about before we get to the local stuff is the fact that the LPGA still has a big problem, and it was typically shown this morning in the summary sheet for the LPGA Tour's Canadian Pacific Open out in Calgary, Alberta. The first three finishers were Araya Jutanagarn, Se-Young Kim, and In-Gee Chun. I rest my case.
Okay. Who? Who?
And we'll see how that goes. You know, the LPGA Tour is not the PGA Tour, never will be, but it's almost too international, and that's a problem they have, but moving right along, we got to start thinking about the countdown for the U.S. Senior Open at Salem next June 26th to July 2. Now that the Senior Open at Toyota out in Ohio has been played and contested with a great champion in Gene Sowers, who had a chance to win this weekend at the Champions Tour event at the Boeing Classic out in Seattle. He did not win it. But there was a terrific playoff, three-way playoff among Bernard Lange, Woody Austin, and Kevin Sutherland. The old man Kraut from Germany, Lange, keeps winning. Because we're looking forward to seeing guys like Lange there next year at Salem. Colin Montgomery, who finished almost dead last yesterday, and Christine Sowers. I don't think we're going to see Fred Couples, guys, so we would love to see most of all. Because he hasn't played hardly at all this year. He did not play in this tournament, which is really in his hometown. So I think Fred may be hanging it up. He should maybe very well make an announcement by the end of the year. We'll be disappointed not to get him next June, but our countdown for the Senior Open has certainly begun, and just look at the U.S. Senior Open, 2017 U.S. Senior Open website for all kinds of information on purchasing tickets, individual, corporate, or volunteering. That's my my page spiel for tonight.
Good, good. Keep it coming.
And on the local side. Anything?
We had a big tournament last week, guys, as you know, and the 96th New England PGA Championship was contested at the Pine Hills down in Plymouth. Our best North Shore finisher was Kirk Hannafeld at the spry young age of 60. He was in contention all week, finished in the top 10 each day, and finished, I believe, tied for seventh on Wednesday. And even par 216, but the winner, 39-year-old Matt Doyle from the Musquamic Club down at Wood Island on the ocean, finished at 210, so he was a very worthy winner. I only mention that, guys, because we're just about wrapping up. We are wrapping up the 100th anniversary history book of the New England PGA, and that'll be coming out at the end of September. My second shameless plug of the night. I know you'll forgive me for this one, but that was a wonderful tournament last week. Great weather, and Kirk didn't quite shoot as well as he thought he would, but still was in the hunt, and we congratulate him. And we had several other local players who finished in the money, made the cut after 36 holes. But the other big news from that tournament, guys, is the fact that next year, the 97th New England PGA Championship comes to the North Shore with our first and second round shared by Turner Hill and Ipswich and the Renaissance Club in Haverhill, with, I believe, the third and final round being played at Turner Hill on about the same Wednesday in late August.
Unbelievable. I'm just shaking my head with all the stuff you've got, Gary. What about this Friday coming up in the paper? You got something cooking for that already?
I certainly do. I have an opportunity to give credit a little bit to Peabody. Another one of our Peabody boys is being fit as a fit professional. Scott Johnson is in his 18th year at the LP Country Club out in Watertown. We're going to share a little bit about Scott's career with our readers, as well as give credit to a young lady from Myopia who has not gotten the credit she deserves this summer, Katie Barand, who's from Lisbon, Beverly, works out at Myopia, played at a Myopia, and is a junior coming on the Boston College women's golf team. And she was a major winner earlier this summer. But I'll also be sharing with our readers on Friday that we may have overlooked back in the late June, early July when it took place. We're going to give her a proper credit this week in our column in the Salem News on Friday or Saturday.
All right, and that'll be in the Gloucester Times on Monday. Usually it follows up with that. Gary, we're going to be doing a show next Monday because it is Labor Day, but it's we're getting ready for football that week. So will you be available? Will you be around next Monday?
I certainly will. If I'm not back from my late week golf trip to Buenos Aires, I'll be available. If it's in Buenos Aires, I'll still be available.
Gary, where do you keep your jet? I haven't seen it over at Beverly Airport.
Oh, I saw it come in this afternoon.
It's kept in one of the hangars. It's that jumbo new hangar they just built for a Boeing 747. My plane just fits in there.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Gary, thanks a lot, man. Stay cool.
Have a great week, guys, and give Colin Kaepernick all the room he needs to get over this thing with the flag and not standing up for the national anthem. Hopefully someone in this week's exhibition game will slap him silly and he'll wake up.
Did you hear what the Giants did in their game? The entire team, including the ball boys and all the staff, lined up all along the sideline, the entire length of the sideline, during the national anthem.
Yeah, cool.
To stick it to them. Gary, and one last thing. I have to compliment you on the quality of the writing. When you do a retrospective on a lot of these long-time contributors to golf on the North Shore, this past week was Fred Thorns, and you know, it's amazing for those who aren't familiar with these people. It's as though you've come to know a segment of that person's life by the way that you present the history of that individual, the contributions that they made. So I just want to compliment you on that because I love reading the stories that you put in every week.
Well, thanks, Tim. The sad stories you're writing away, but they're also celebratory stories. And the other problem is that the other good thing is that there's no one as old around as I am who remembers these great people, so I'm glad I have the opportunity and the vehicle to share these people's greatness with my readers.
You're just hitting your stride, Gary. Thank you very much for joining us every Monday. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great week, man.
Take care. Thank you, Gary. Gary Larrabee, sports historian, great writer, golf writer, and he funny he touched on the Kaepernick thing. And at first, you know what? Let's go to Andrew Morency first, and we'll get back to that. I don't want to stall because this could take a while. We're going to talk with Beverly football, high school football coach Andrew Morency next. You're listening to North Shore Sports Night on MSONewsSports.com.
MSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and sports. Marketing and advertising slots are now available on MSONewsSports.com. Banner advertising, radio commercials. We have numerous marketing and advertising opportunities on our website. Banner advertising, radio commercials in both news and sports programming. Catch on with us now. We have special spring and summer promotions. We are providing an exclusive product, radio and video features with North Shore Newsmakers. For more information, click on the advertise button on the top right-hand corner of our webpage.
After immunizing more than 2 billion children, Rotary Club members are close to wiping polio from the face of the earth. Thanks to a matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to protect children against polio forever.
Rotary is a worldwide network of community volunteers dedicated to helping people in need. Rotary believes the right group of people working together can make communities and the world a better place. Make an impact. Join a Rotary Club in Rhode Island or Massachusetts. For more, go to RotaryDreams.org.
All right, we're going to try the call again. For some reason, it didn't get through. And I'm not
Hello.
Sure. There we go.
Coach Hawaii, Tim Curran with Rick Moore at MSO.
How you doing?
Very good.
Hey, Coach, been a while. How indeed are you doing?
I'm doing great. Busy, but everything's fine.
Excellent.
Everything's great.
Excellent. You know, last year we didn't make contact, and I don't know what the hell happened, but I think I had bad email addresses and so on, but it's great to have you back.
I just got onto my school website, and I saw that you guys had reached out, so I'm psyched that we can finally connect it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Coach, is this your home number that we called?
Yes.
Okay. Well, at the end of the interview, I'm going to talk to you about continuing our weekly interview that I used to do with Dan Bauer.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, Tim used to do every week, and what was it called?
Panther Preview.
All right.
Great.
Tim lives right next to the football field there, so the practice field. So.
Excellent.
All right, now let's get to it, Andrew. First of all, I talked to Jim Pugh last week, and it's funny I talked with Jim back in the early spring. It was a late interview. It was an exit interview. I wanted to talk to him after leaving Masconomet the year before. And never dreaming that he'd be back, here on the North Shore, and here he is in Hamilton Wenham. And now you're sliding over into the Beverly chair, and I know Bill Newell talked with you earlier this year, but now that you're out there on the field, Coach, back with the black and orange, what's it feel like?
Well, it's surreal. It certainly is. I mean, I'm very grateful to kind of come full circle and be able to coach in a place that where I started, both as a player and as a coach, as an assistant. So to have the opportunity to come back and kind of coach where you started, I think it's a pretty unique situation, and I'm very, obviously very psyched about it, very appreciative of all the people that helped make that happen. So I'm just kind of a very happy guy here. We have a lot of work to do for sure, and, you know, the hard part now comes where you have to go out and do stuff. You got to do great things, but certainly being given the opportunity has been a dream come true.
You know, well, I don't think you were given it. I think you probably earned it, but,
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, there's a difference there. The last triumvirate, talking about the principal, the athletic director, and, of course, the coach, and they've all gone on, but they worked together so well and were so contributory toward the great success at Beverly. And now you're in that exact situation. You've got a new principal, a new athletic director, and or at least an interim principal, and you. So it's a chance really to set your own course, isn't it?
It is. You know, Sean... Sean Gallagher is a good friend of mine, somebody that I played against at Salem when I was at Beverly, and so we're lifelong friends, and, you know, he did such a great job. I'm not surprised at all the great things he did at Beverly, and certainly Coach Bauer is somebody who I coached with at some point, and I was able to learn a little bit from him, and, you know, it was pretty obvious he was going to be successful. He's a great administrator, great kind of in control situations, and, you know, With those two, you knew, you know, you were going to have a quality program, and you knew that they were going to go out and work hard. So to kind of pass the baton to me, I just got to, you know, kind of follow in those footsteps as far as that hard work, that day-to-day,
going to just kind of go at it one day at a time. That's kind of our big mantra at Beverly right now. We're trying to transition to a lot of new things, and so I feel like if we can kind of baby step it as we go, we're going to be very successful. But, I mean, these are big shoes to fill, but lucky for me, I know those guys pretty well, and I'm so happy that they've gone on to do great, do even bigger things. And for me, I'm just psyched to be able to kind of keep going what they've started.
Well, I want to talk to you about your staff in a minute, Andrew. But first, what's been the most pleasant surprise for you over there, either when you moved into the, to the new place, or when you first met with the kids, or how practice has gone? What's been the most pleasant thing so far for you?
Well, I tell you, the players have been they're unbelievable. I mean, I've just been so, pleased at the work ethic, the senior leadership, my captains. They really, want to do something this year. It's one of those things where they feel like it's their turn, and they're excited to kind of go out and prove their worth. So I've been very impressed with the players, their work ethic, how much they, care about the program, they care about, Beverly High School football, the community, their school. I tell you, it's been impressive, and it's something that, again, for a coach, you couldn't ask for a better situation than that.
Well, again, that also speaks to what Sean Gallagher has done with the internship program,
right,
that the seniors have and so on, and that trickles down to the younger kids, too.
Sure does, and, that's something Sean and I talked about when, on his way out, about some of the things he was looking forward to in the future for Beverly and Beverly football, and, we are always on the same page. We have been since we met way back when, so, it's been really, even though it's been a lot of hard work, and it's a lot to do, it's all about the players, about the kids, and, that for me is the biggest motivating factor.
Coach, what's your philosophy with captains, both at Hamilton Wenham and now back here at Beverly? How do you look at a kid being a captain? What's his role, and what's his responsibility?
Well, that's a great point. I really wanted the players to be able to make the correct choices. I feel like this is the players' vote. But certainly as a coach, you want to make sure that, they're making these choices based upon the proper ideals and tenets. The captains have to be leaders, both on and off the field, people who, care about not just their fellow seniors, but the freshmen and the sophomores. They need to lead by example, and they need to want it more than anybody, And for me, I have four captains that we elected as soon as, I became head coach. And those captains have been outstanding. A captain at some point in my career, way back when, I just remember how important it was to go out and try to be an extension of the voice of the coach and kind of, echo what they're saying. And, those players have to buy into it those captains have to buy into it in order to do that. And so far, like I said, maybe I'm too idealistic, but these players, these captains, they've been spectacular.
Who was your coach? Was it Coach Rosinski or Coach Hamer?
So Coach Hamer was my coach when I was at Beverly playing, and then Coach Rosinski gave me my first chance to coach at Beverly as an assistant.
Okay, because Bill and I used to do the Beverly games. And,
oh, yeah, I remember.
We remember when
that.
You were QB. Oh, yeah, absolutely. that's pretty cool. Now, tell me a little bit about, about your assistants, Andrew. Who do you have?
So my defensive coordinator is Scott Shares. Scott is a former Beverly High School player,
yep,
in his own right, very successful. He was a member of the 1988 Super Bowl team. And Scott was with me in Hamilton for years. So Scott is somebody I've known my whole life, so I'm great to have him. Very grateful to have him as D coordinator. Pat Henneberry, another Beverly High School captain football, another Beverly High School graduate, a friend for a long time. He has been with me in Hamilton for years prior, so he's come over, and he's going to be my line coach. Jimmy Foltz is another Beverly High School player who is a member of, the 1994 team that went 7-3. He was an outstanding player, Jimmy was, and I actually coached him. So having him on the staff is awesome. So we have a big Beverly core there. And then Milton Brown is a guy that he's from North Carolina. He's somebody who came on board with me last year at Hamilton, and he's just been an instant hit. He's a great assistant coach. And Mark Thomas, who is an assistant principal at Beverly, he was on Coach Bauer's staff, and he held over and he wanted to stay on. So it's nice to have a little bit of the prior regime, too, to kind of give me a little bit more of the things he did last year to kind of acclimate better. And so Coach Thomas is on board as well. So we have five, I feel like five top assistants, and I'm just very grateful for all the work that they do.
Excellent. Now, you're a week away from opening with Beverly, and I'm sure Tim and you are going to talk more about that in the Panther preview next week.
Yep.
What have you seen on the field so far, Coach? Have you guys scrimmaged?
Yes, we did. We scrimmaged Winthrop on Saturday, and we did very well. We came out and we we came out strong. We had a great day, you know. So we felt like we, the film and everything else, it was a spectacular kind of start for us. We just felt we wanted to do certain things. The kids were anxious to kind of finally do the things that we've been teaching them, and it all worked out pretty well. And tomorrow we have our next scrimmage with Tewksbury. That also is at Hurd Stadium at 4.
Ah, Tewksbury.
And after that, you know, we have a week and a half, and then we have Wakefield at home to open the season.
Tewksbury, man, they are the bane of the NEC, aren't they?
Yeah, you know, this is a good test for us. This will be something where, you know, if we feel like we can play with Tewksbury, we can play with anybody. So, hopefully, we'll see.
Coach, I know during Dan's tenure as a head coach with Roger Day as his offensive coordinator, they ran the wing T. What's going to be your base offense?
So we run a multi-look offense and more of a pro style. So what we'll do is we'll run some eye slot, we run some trips, and we run some spread. And we just kind of, you know, we're going to definitely be a run-pass-pass run. We run some no-huddle. It'll be exciting, you know. The kids are excited to throw the ball around a little bit as well as run. So we'll definitely be a wide-open attack, but certainly play to our strengths. We have a lot of backs this year, a lot of skill positions, so we have a lot of choices, hopefully, as we move forward.
Okay, now what Dana and I did over the past 4 or 5 seasons was we met Wednesday afternoons after his practice, and we sat down for 5 or 10 minutes and sat down and reviewed the previous week's game, and then looked forward to the upcoming opponent.
Yep.
You agreeable to that?
Oh, absolutely. That'd be awesome.
Okay. What I do is I'll get let's see. When you're playing tomorrow. You're scrimmaging Wednesday, right?
Yeah, so Tewksbury is tomorrow.
All right, so what I'll do is I'll stop down at the game, and I'll catch up with you at the end of the game, and
sure.
I'll get your cell phone. And what I did, I used to email Dan reminders that I would be coming over after the practice.
That'd be great.
Listen, I got a complaint, though, Andrew. You guys who run the no-huddle, I'm trying to broadcast the game, learn all these kids' names, and keep statistics, and there's no chance of that when you guys do that. Thanks a lot.
You know, it's funny. Of course, the kids love doing it, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing is, we will only do it unless we can.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's one of those things that not every year unless we have the horses to
right,
run it. So
right.
We'll see if this team can do it, but they're certainly up for the challenge.
Coach, you sound excited. It's great to get you back on here again. Welcome back to the NEC.
Oh, I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. I'm excited. I can't wait to get it going.
All right, we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
All right, buddy.
Take care, Coach.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Coach, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right, Tim. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, bye now.
Bye-bye.
That is Beverly High School football coach Andrew Morency. Wow. Woo. Very nice, very nice. So you're going to keep that going. That'll be great.
Yes, that'll be fun again. And that'll be brought to you once again by the Gloria Food Store.
Very good.
268 Rantoul Street. In Beverly.
And Fisherman's Forecast will be brought to you by the Gloucester House Restaurant at Seven Seas Wharf in Gloucester.
Are you going to pick that up, or am I going to do that?
I'll take care of it.
Okay.
Well, you know, we can talk about it.
Right.
It can be. It. I didn't mean to say it like that. It's open.
No,
for discussion.
No. Just I've been going by the field and going, I wonder if Rick's talked to him.
So. Yeah. No. I mean, I can certainly do it. If you want to do it, great. If you don't have the time, that's great too. I love doing it.
It's great fun talking to the coaches in midweek as they prepare for each game, and to give them a chance to reflect.
Well, we also
we're
also planning on going visiting more practices.
Yes.
I'm going to go up to Newburyport. Want to talk up there. Coach wants us to talk to the captains and to him too. We're going to, you know, obviously stop in. We have to take a trek up to Winthrop. We want to see Coach Driscoll up there and Coach Betancourt. We want to stop in on all the practices, you know, meet the kids, meet the coaches face to face, and get what we can. I think it's really important for fans and parents and relatives of these kids who listen now. And we're getting more and more listeners, obviously, as we continue this, to hear what the coaches have to say, because you know, they see the kids in a different way, and I go back to lacrosse and my daughter coming home saying, you know, I know I'm good enough to make it, and she didn't make it. And my point was, the coaches see something that we don't see. They see something different, and you have to get seen. You have to get noticed.
Yeah.
And as you keep pointing out, coach doesn't want you. You got to play better.
Have to get better.
Got to get better. And so, but my point is that the football coaches are so articulate. They're with the kids for so many hours, Tim. I mean, just hour after hour after hour. So I think it's important for us to talk with them. And thankfully, the coaches in the area are very very nice to us. They understand that we're trying to promote the kids, and they, you know, certainly that's what they do.
I was on a fishing trip last week and middle of last week, and Ellie Walsh, the girls soccer coach at Gloucester, was on board, and we had a chance to talk.
Newlywed.
And a newlywed, yep. About her upcoming season, and she said she has some transfer kids coming in from the area who have previous varsity experience, and she is very excited, looking forward to adding those to her contingent of returning players to strengthen her base.
And you and I have to go, or Bill and I, we're going to go see Coach Ciccatelli, too, over in Revere. He was going to be on tonight, but he's at a fundraiser, and he did send his regrets.
Oh.
And I actually got to see him face-to-face at the Aganis game. It was great.
Yeah, Bill and I had the chance to talk to him a couple of years back when we were at Patriot Field in Revere after one of their games. And again, he is just a bundle of energy.
Oh, but and again, you know, as an old timer now, I can say this as a retired educator. I mean, these guys, you know, they've got their hearts and their heads in the right place. They know what they're doing, and they give everything they got. They sure as hell don't do it for the money.
Well, they're also looking forward to keep in contact with Coach Jim Pugh, now of Hamilton Wenham, and as their season progresses.
Yeah. Yeah, we had Coach Pugh on 2 weeks ago.
And I have to get over to Maskenawman and speak to Devin McGonigal.
All right, we're going to try to get a hold of another legend here right after the break. Dave Curley up in Rockport. He's the boys' high school soccer coach up there, and they have a remarkable record year in and year out under Coach Curley. He's retired from teaching, but still coaching. We'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're thinking about replacing the windows in your home, please see the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows. Why Anderson? With low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interiors, you can turn simple window replacement into significant home improvement. See the Anderson Woodwright replacement windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in North Reading, Beverly, and Plastown, New Hampshire.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Okay, Coach Curley warned us that he was going to be at practice, and we give it a try, and he's still at practice. Okay, Coach, briefly here, we're gonna talk to Bill Newell momentarily, but let's talk about the Colin Kaepernick protest. And I will say this. At first, and this is just my reaction, editorially speaking, I was upset because I've had kids in school who won't stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and that upsets me as a veteran, as a son of an Iwo Jima survivor, and my dad did three tours in Vietnam after that, and Silver Star Medal winner, awarded the Silver Star, you don't win it, awarded the Silver Star, awarded the Bronze Star twice, and other numerous medals. I was upset, because I would tell my kids, freshman homeroom, when you pledge allegiance, it doesn't mean anything cultish, you're just... No, not you. I am thanking those who have made my life pretty damn easy. Thanking all those people, or you know, respecting all those who have done so much. Many never came home, and that's the way I look at it. I don't think that it's a cult thing. I don't think you're pledging allegiance. When you pledge allegiance, it doesn't mean, you know, my country right or wrong, my country. We always question. You always have a right to protest. You have a right to ask things. You have a right to disagree. You have a right to call the president names if you want to. And that's part of what makes it great. So when I saw Kaepernick not do that, I thought, boy, that is so disrespectful. But then I remember my dad said, back in the 60s, when all that stuff was going on originally, if you remember, my dad said, you know, that's what we fought for. That's what we fought for those idiots to have that right to do that. And so I saw a letter on Facebook from an African-American, a black veteran, who wrote an open letter to Colin Kaepernick, and the basis of it was just saying, you know, there's a better way you can do this. There's a better way you can protest and help make things better with all of your star power.
Well, yeah, that's you know some of the talking heads we were at it this afternoon, and it's a First Amendment right.
That's right.
You can it's your expression, and you certainly have the right to do that. It sort of goes against the flow of popular sentiment and popular practice, certainly. But if you're going to make that protest and that statement, then and it comes rather shallow from someone who's probably making $8 million a year right now to be a backup. Okay, take some of that money and help and improve somebody's life. Joe Sullivan, our former principal, used to say it. Don't come to me with a problem. Come to me with a solution.
Okay, and I think...
You know, so what are you going to do to help and alleviate the situation?
Consider the guy, dare I say this, probably isn't that bright. I doubt that he graduated with a degree. Extremely gifted, talented athlete. Probably a nice guy, but not all that bright. So here is a chance for someone to help him learn. And Coach, if someone like you could get up into his face and say exactly that, it would be a good thing.
Yeah. You know, and that's what, you know, and a lot of people get on, news commentators love to get on athletes or Hollywood personalities when they get up and they make a statement and they take a stand and they criticize the government, they criticize organizations because they're seen as simply spoiled brats who are you know, living the high life and have no right to make those kind of comments. Well, neither do those people then who are getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars by the networks, even millions of dollars in some instances, you know, who have no tie to anything, but they're making political, social, economic comment on a daily basis.
Sure.
Where is their expertise coming from?
That's right. They don't have any.
The same place as that Hollywood star.
Yeah, exactly.
Or that athlete.
So
they have the right to open and comment.
So I think if Kaepernick is the man I think he is or will be, I think he's going to learn from this, and I think he's going to make some positive movement. And I think the people who go bunkers and who burn his jerseys and call him a dipstick and all this other stuff, you know, stuff. I don't know. I'm a veteran. I served. I did my duty. And okay, I didn't like it at first. You know, knee jerk reaction. But damn it, that's what makes this country so great. You know, anybody else complaining, you know, that's what makes it great. We can do that.
Yeah, you know, back in the 60s, they made T-shirts and jeans with the seat of the pants of the American flag.
I know, yep.
And people got rip-roaring upset because you were sitting on the American flag. You know, and in many ways, it was seen as a protest. It was a protest against the war. It was a protest against social injustice. And to many, you know, the flag representing the country represented the powers that be that created the war, that put us in that war, that created the environment in which those social injustices existed and failed to move to resolve them. And it was their way of protesting.
That's right. So I got a kick out of at the Olympics, some athlete was standing at attention on the podium instead of having her hand over her heart or whatever. And did you know, for an armed services veteran, that is the proper way to address the national anthem is with your hands at your side, standing at attention. If you're not in uniform, you stand at attention. You do not put your hand. You can, but it's not required. The way we were taught was if you're not in uniform, the national anthem comes on, you stand at attention. That's it. Now, if you got your uniform worn, you present arms. Now you can. It's if you're a veteran or a retired military. And you have a baseball cap, for example, you can keep it on and salute. That is flag protocol now. But to stand at attention, and it's funny, I'm at the hockey rink all the time, and I don't have my hat on. I just stand at attention. You know, and nobody's said anything. So what people get upset over, I guess, is what I'm laughing at.
And we
live in a beautiful place.
And it's so true. You know, I'll take my cap off and I put it over my heart because
that's
my hat.
If I had my cap.
You know, or your hand over your
heart. But if you don't have a cap, you stand at attention. Yeah. I didn't put my hand over her heart. Pledge of Allegiance, you put your hand over your heart. National Anthem, just stand at attention. And, you know, these are just R-I-T-E-S that are subject to change.
That's right.
Yeah, you know?
They're not written in stone.
That's right.
They're customs.
That's right. And they're pretty cool. All right, let's take a very quick break. Come back with the voice of the North Shore, Bill Newell. This is North Shore Sports Night on MSO News Sports. We got football coming up a week from Friday.
MSO Radio, North Shore Now, news and sports. Marketing and advertising slots are now available on MSONewsSports.com. Banner advertising, radio commercials. We have numerous marketing and advertising opportunities on our website. Banner advertising, radio commercials in both news and sports programming. Catch on with us now. We have special spring and summer promotions. We are providing an exclusive product, radio and video features with North Shore Newsmakers. For more information, click on the advertise button on the top right-hand corner of our website. Page.
Okay, we're back for our final segment, as they say, with Bill Newell. Hi, Bill.
Good evening, men.
Good evening.
Men.
Good evening. Oh, yeah, I got that deep voice there. Bill, just talking with Andrew Morenci over at Beverly, and Tim has Tim showed me a picture of the Beverly Field and the Beverly Press Box. You want to expand on that?
Well, no, I think they're working on that piece. The field looks great, by the way. The clubhouse, we'll probably do a little feature on that tomorrow on the website, but they've redone the inside of the football clubhouse where the Panthers prepare for the games and needed halftime and so on. So they did a great job there. I got a little tour of that today, and the field looks great. The new stands look great as well, and that grass area on the home side where the press box used to be and is still there, but it's a different structure that I think they've sodded that in. So that's kind of a really neat place to kind of sit and watch a game and, for some folks on a nice fall afternoon. So first game's less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
When Wakefield comes over.
So we got new fields in Beverly's in the new stands. You got a new field in Danvers. Where else? Peabody is relatively new. Gloucester's relatively new.
Newburyport
is brand new.
Revere's new,
oh, yeah.
too.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
New. Yep. Beautiful.
Yep. Revere.
Revere. Yeah.
Bill, you went over to Endicott and met the new football coach?
Yep. Kevin DeWall is in his second year there. Young team. They're going to be a very young team. I think they lost some of the players off of last year's team. I think was a third-place league finisher. They're picked for third again this year. They're opening up with three very tough non-league games. Their opener is at Framingham State this Saturday at noontime. But we'll have an interview up tomorrow on the website with Coach DeWall, and we'll be following them throughout the fall as well with updates on the weekends right after they play and stuff like that. So we'll have a lot of information on Endicott football. They don't have a lot of local players, as we would call local, from the Peabody, Beverly, Lynn, Swampscott, Marblehead, Gloucester area. They do have a few that are from kind of just a little bit beyond there, but for the most part, they don't have a lot of local players there right now, but, down the road, they may. Who knows?
Well, Framingham State tends to draw a lot of kids from the North Shore area. Over the past probably 10 years, they've had a number of outstanding players go there and do very, very well.
Yeah, we got to check those rosters, some of those teams, and we can do that easily now and kind of check up on a few players. So that's something that we definitely, we talked about doing some of that last year. We did a little bit of it, but we got to do a little bit more of that. I think that'd be very interesting. That's a good point with Framingham. There have been a bunch of local players playing for Framingham, which is a very good team, by the way.
Ooh, yeah.
Bill, we just had a week off, and, this is our big time of year. What do you see for MSO News Sports coming up this fall?
Oh, I don't know, Rick. What do you think? What do you see? I don't know. Well, I mean, I think that I still think that there's we're drawing a lot of drawing a lot of attention, and we will be obviously as a lot more things get posted here in the next few weeks or so, next few days, I should say, next few hours. There's so much high school football stuff and all the other sports, and they're all going to be getting underway here in the next couple of weeks or so. Football starts so early now, it seems like, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It's Friday after Labor Day,
I think
September 9th, yeah.
I think the other thing you should point out is that that little 24/7 box up in the left-hand corner. I haven't mentioned that, but, you've got that up there, and then you've got our daily news up thing, and I think you should mention that for us.
Well, I mean, I think, one thing to take a look at, up on the website, up on the top left side, there's a tab that says, I think, 24/7 radio. And what that is you click on that, and you're going to hear the latest newscast, sportscast, very brief, moving, and then some interviews as well. And so that'll be up there. So that means that if somebody goes to our website on a Friday night, not only could they listen to two live high school football games, but if it goes to halftime and they really they don't want to hang around for Tim's nonsense at halftime.
Whoa!
I'm just kidding.
Oh, geez, look at the look on him. Oh my God, Bill, you killed him. he's speechless.
No, you could click on the newscast there, so you have all these options and different things happening and those are just on demand. Not to mention all the other things that are on the website that are all kind of exclusive things. I was talking to the Endicott coach and I said, a lot of people, they know the coaches or they know the athletes, but this is the only place they can really hear them, unless they're in their classroom, their students,
yeah,
fellow students or whatever within the school. But if you're in the community outside of, they say, the immediate area, you never hear these coaches or you never hear the players. So it's kind of a unique thing like that because, people do know what Dustin Pedroia sounds like or what Tom Brady sounds like or clearly Bill Belichick sounds like, And this is the website offers that,
yeah,
that other, the other media outlets do a great job in what they do, but this is just unique and different. And
yeah,
so we're going to just try to do more of what we've done before on the website.
Well, I thought I'd ask you that because I really never know what I'm doing. You guys do the Lynn Schools every weekend, and do you have any leftover thoughts or how, any projections for how English and classical might be? I know I've looked at a lot of Gloucester and games, and right now the early... the early indication is they got to rebuild their front line. They got plenty of skill position players. How do you guys have any thoughts, Tim or Bill, on the classical English stuff at this point?
I have nothing to say.
Saving it. You're just saving it for halftime.
Bill, I'm just wondering who you're going to interview on halftime between games on the doubleheader night. I want to see how you're going to do. You'll be hoarse by the end of the night.
Well, Tim, that was just a cheap joke. It was a stretch as soon as it came out of my mouth. So, it really wasn't as hurtful as some of the things other people say.
Bill, my shoulders are only so broad. My back is only so strong. Poor Rick. Rick has doubled over. I want you to know.
I got to turn my mic down.
In here.
Mine was clearly just a joke.
Oh,
that's all it was.
Oh,
yeah.
Listen, we can't get along without Tim. We can't live without Tim. Oh God, Bill. Any
no.
Seriously, anything about classical or English that comes to mind?
I remember that question. I do.
Okay. Okay.
Not really. No. Not really. I know. I mean, you got a situation. I think Matt Loria is back at quarterback for classical, and I thought that he was a real strength of that team last year, and if they can plug in some, I don't think they were a big team up front last year. If they can put some things together there, then, they think they'll be competitive. And then on the other side, English, Chris Carroll's in his second year there. I got to think it's a big difference moving from being a first-year coach to a second-year coach and having things in place and knowing what to expect and different things. So, but I really don't know a lot of what their two situations are. I, as you mentioned, I did get away last week, and I was hoping to maybe catch up with either one of them the Friday before I left, but that just didn't happen. So we're still working on that piece.
Yeah. Well,
we need to get to Steve Krause and find out when they're putting out their football preview edition along with the Salem News. They'll probably be sometime midweek next week.
Oh, yeah, I would think so. Yeah, it's got to be happening soon, and keep you posted on that. I know the Salem News actually has been running some nice features on...
Oh, haven't they, though?
On the... now I'm just blank.
The top five sports for each local high school.
Yeah, and I know they did Danvers today.
Yeah.
One of the premier sports, I guess is what they're calling it. So clearly they featured Danvers baseball out of Danvers High School. Tomorrow is a Beverly Day. I gotta think they're there's a bunch of sports that have been very successful at Beverly, but football's been very successful under Dan Bowler, and of course he's not there this year. Andrew Morency is there, but be interesting to see how that story comes out tomorrow from Beverly.
I mean, you know, you've got the track team that has been consistently highly
ranked. Yeah.
Lacrosse yeah. team. The basketball team has done fairly well. The football team, as you mentioned, the hockey team. I mean, there's so many sports that have played at a very, very high level consistently over the past probably decade, almost two decades. It's going to be hard to throw a top five up there.
Oh, yeah. And soccer's, too, have been very good
yeah.
over the years there, too. Yeah. So.
All right, Bill, anything you got? Did you get Andy Carbone? Is he going to be on tomorrow?
He's on right now. That just got posted. I jumped the gun. I thought I did it because I'm figuring that I'm on last, and if we put a post up there, all people will do is just miss me, and I figure that's the best thing.
That's the
best part to miss anyway, so there
no,
you go.
No, no, everybody's going to be listening now to see how you and Tim get along next time. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
I get along fine.
Yes, you do. Yes,
yeah,
you
I'm
do.
Bringing headgear for the first broadcast. So
and a spear. All right, Bill. Thanks. We'll see you in the morning.
All right. Take care.
Okay.
Yeah,
good night, Bill Newell.
Good night, Bill.
The voice of the North Shore.
And my true friend.
You know, honest to God, Bill is the most stoic, stone-faced guy. And then he comes up with something like that, and I'm sorry, it was just, it could have been about me or about you.
He does it to me every time we work together in a broadcast.
Oh, my God. But out of the blue.
Well,
it's not as hurtful as some of the other things other people say about you. It's like, oh, my God, who did he come up with that?
Which is very true.
Oh,
it's true.
Tim, you know how we can't get along without you. You know that.
No, but as I say, you'd like to try.
No, I don't even want to do that. I don't even like doing a show without you. I need you here. I need you here. You know, I think if we look back, you know, it's 11 years we've been doing this.
I know.
And we've sure have talked a lot, but we've talked a lot to kids, a lot to coaches. And I think we've seen a lot of good things, haven't we?
I think so. We've presented a positive message of sports, of the sporting community. We've represented ourselves in the website, I think, in an admirable fashion. And we've given the opportunity to coaches and to kids to present themselves to the local community. And it also gives them a chance, because of the vehicle by which we operate, that their family members that aren't local, that can't get to their games,
mm-hmm.
that they can listen to the games. Some they can see the games. They can hear their interviews.
Now you mentioned Coach Bauer. Coach Bauer's dad.
Oh God, he is such a screw. Oh my God! But I will stay in touch with Dan Bauer. He's become a very good friend over time, and I will continue with that with that friendship. And again, I want to wish him well as he starts out in his first principalship at Marblehead, a great high school. My dad graduated from Marblehead, and it's a school with many great traditions in terms mm-hmm. of academics, athletics. Extracurriculars. So I know Dan has that personality, and I see him a bit like a former colleague of ours, John Zergavel, who is able to deal with the adults, communicate with the kids, earn the respect of both, and move the school forward.
Okay. Comments, complaints, suggestions, please email us at msonewsports@gmail.com, msonewsports@gmail.com. And I sincerely thank you, Tim, for helping out as always. Bill Proposky, our producer and engineer, Bill Newell, the voice of North Shore, and all of this is in jest. And I guess because Tim is the easiest going of all of us, he's the main target. The rest of us would take this too seriously. And have a coronary, I think. So, with that, we'll say good evening.
Good evening, Rick.
All right, good evening, Tim. And good evening, one and all. Bye-bye.